Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they wanted. Now, the sons of God is a phrase that's used in the Bible about the believers. Now are we the sons of God, John says. So, it doesn't mean that angels came down from heaven to earth and married men. It doesn't mean that. It means that the believers started to marry the daughters of men. And we've seen since Cain and Abel that there developed these two lines, these two groups in the early generations. There were those who followed God, like Abel tried to, and those who followed the way of the serpent, like Cain. And what happened was that now the sons of God, the faithful ones, started to marry with the unbelievers. And this is a theme that you see all through the Old Testament, that whenever Israel started to marry with the surrounding peoples, or believers married unbelievers, it all went very wrong. And so the Lord said, "My spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days will be 120 years. Now, that could mean that he was saying, in 120 years, I'm going to destroy the earth. And this is the thing with sin, or at least to destroy people on the earth. This is the thing with sin, that sin will be judged, and we might be naughty and nasty and then think, oh yeah, well, anyway. Okay, every day is a new day, let's just get on and do the same again. But God remembers what we do, and we will be judged. This is very clear. There were giants in the earth in those days. And when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they had children, and those men became mighty men, famous men. Also, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So what upset God was not only the way that these aggressive giants, or it could just mean hackers or attackers or aggressive people, it wasn't only upset with their existence, but especially with the thoughts of people's hearts. And we may think that it doesn't really matter what we think, as long as we just hide it and don't say anything. Well, God wanted to destroy all the people on the earth because of how they were thinking. And that's really significant. And it shows how to be spiritually minded is really the essence of being Christian. And that is what God really wants, how we think, the state of our heart. And that is why, when we're baptized, we are given the Holy Spirit. This is not the power in our days to do miracles, talk in foreign languages and stuff like that. But it is the power to be righteous, the thinking of God, a spiritual mind. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth." Now, that doesn't mean God sinned and had to repent. To repent means to think again. God was really hurt, and it says it grieved him at his heart. So God was so incredibly sad with how people were thinking. Their state of heart touched his state of heart. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and animals and creeping things and birds, because I am thinking again, or repenting, that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What a wonderful idea that Noah walked with God. It means that in his daily life he was with God. "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and I'm going to destroy them with the earth. So make an ark. Rooms you shall make in the ark, and you will pitch it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark will be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall you make to the ark, and the door of the ark shall you set in the side of it, with lower, second, and third stories you shall make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth will die. But with you I will establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of birds also, after their kind, all the different species. And of cattle, according to their species. Of every creeping thing of the earth, after his kind. Two of every sort will come unto you to keep them alive. And take unto you all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to you, and it shall be food for you and for them, for the animals. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So, for 120 years, the New Testament says that Noah preached righteousness. So it seems that he tried to get other people to come into the ark. And yet we've read that those people were violent and aggressive. And it must have sounded so crazy that there was going to be a flood of waters. Because until the ark and the time of the flood, there was no rain. The earth was watered, we're told, by a mist that came up. That's how the earth got its water. And so Noah would have been mocked, he'd have been laughed at, that you're talking something crazy. And of course, in the end, when the rain did come and all the people realized, as they ran to get higher and higher and higher to get away from the water, they realized Noah was right. But it was too late. And Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the time when he comes back. And so that is the world in which we live, a world that is violent, that is filled with seeking pleasure and fun for themselves, and has got no time for God. And there are very, very few of us who really see the truth of all this. And so the ark, Peter says in the New Testament, is like Jesus. And we've got to come into that ark. And that is the only way to be saved. And he says, and Peter says, that we enter into the ark, as it were, by baptism. And of course, the ark itself was going to be surrounded by water, just like you are when you're baptized. But we'll come to that in the next chapter.